We're going to turn in God's Word, please, to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 4. Luke's Gospel and the chapter 4. And we're going to read from the verse 38 down to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 4 and the verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers or various diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. But he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. We'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his word. We'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer.
Let us each pray, looking to the Lord for his help in the ministry of his word.
Our gracious Father, we thank thee, Lord, for your truth. And, O Lord, we pray that help will be given as we meditate over the scriptures today. O Lord, be pleased to take thy word and to seal it to every heart. We thank you that you know every heart in the meeting. God is greater than every heart. Therefore, we pray that thou wilt take thy truth and write it upon every soul. Grant that needed help in the ministry of the word, we pray. In our Lord's name we ask. Amen. Amen. The latter part of Luke chapter 4 details for us a very busy day, a very busy Sabbath day in the ministry of our Lord. As we saw last time, the Lord had been preaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And in that service, he not only preached, but he also delivered a man from demon possession. After the meeting, the Lord went to the home of Simon Peter, and there he raised Simon's mother-in-law back up to health. And then in the evening, many great miracles took place at the door of this house as many brought their sick to the Lord. Then the next day, the Lord went to have time alone, but crowds followed him. In verse 42, when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. And surely in those words we see the superiority of the age in which we live, that the Lord is in every place, that the Holy Spirit ministers Christ in every place, and therefore we live in a time superior even to this era than the ministry of Christ, although there is a sense in which we can plead with the Lord that he would not depart from us, that our lives would be lived in this manner, that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And today I want to focus on this scene in the house of Simon, where he healed Simon's mother-in-law. Of course, this scene, like many others, exposes the folly of the teaching of Rome that Peter was the first pope. For very clearly, Peter was not celibate. Peter was married. And therefore, we learn here the falsehood of that teaching of Rome, not only about celibacy, but also their claim that Peter was the first pope. But I want to focus here on this miracle that took place in Peter's house, the raising of his mother-in-law. What a difference was made when the Lord came into this home. And what a difference is made in any home when the Lord comes in. When the Lord came into this house, he performed this miracle. And it's recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, in Mark's Gospel, and in Luke. And in each of them, they bring out different details. But there is a detail that they all share. And that is that when the miracle took place, Peter's mother-in-law began to serve the Lord and these disciples that were with him. So if you notice at the end of verse 39, immediately she arose and ministered unto them. When the miracle took place, she ministered to them. Most take the view that she served a meal unto them. Now, some might look at this and say it's a bit insulting that the Lord raised this woman just so she could go and prepare a meal and serve the men. But that would be to miss the whole point of the passage. If you look back with me in Luke chapter 1, and these are the words of the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, Luke chapter 1 and the verse 74, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. And what happened for this lady? She was delivered out of the hand of the enemy, out of the grip of this fever. And what was she enabled to do? She was enabled to serve without fear. And therefore, this miracle has lessons for every child of God, whether male or female. That when the Lord raises a sinner from the grip of sin and condemnation, the Lord raises up to serve him and to serve his people. And so that is the point of the story. Being raised up to serve. I want to say, first of all, that the bondage of sin prevents service. The bondage of sin presents service. For what was true literally here for this woman, she had a fever that prevented her from engaging in her daily service. What is true concerning her literally is true concerning the sinner spiritually. The sinner is held in bondage. And the sinner, therefore, needs to be liberated. Remember, Luke is presenting all of this to illustrate what the Lord had said back in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was preaching deliverance to the captives. Remember how I explained there that that language is the language of liberty. It is the language of the year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee then had come in the ministry of our Lord. He was indeed bringing this great deliverance. But the lady, you see, she was not on her feet. She could not use her hands. She was hindered by this fever. And as I've said, each of the gospel writers brings us different details about this. Matthew says that she was led. She was led. And the Greek word that he uses has the idea she was thrown down. She was cast down to the bed. Cast off her feet. Could no longer do the thing that she was designed to do. Mark says she lay sick. That is, the sickness kept her reclined. And then Luke tells us here in verse 38 that she was taken with a great fever. That is, the fever had a hold of her. The fever was gripping her and had no intention of letting her go. And therefore we can say that the fever was the problem. And it would only be when the Lord dealt with the fever that she could rise up and serve. And therefore I think you can see that the fever here is speaking of sin. It's speaking of sin's dominion. It's speaking of the grip that the devil has over the lost soul. The dominion of sin. Now, how can we take fever to speak of sin? Well, the burning was inward, but there was an outward manifestation. And so whatever was causing the fever, and I think it's really a waste of time to go through all of the various suggestions that have to be made as to how this fever came to be. Whatever the fever was, it was outwardly manifested. There was this sweat running down her face. But the problem was not superficial. The fever was an account of some problem deep within. And therefore, we are reminded that as sin has an outward manifestation, it is because of this deep inward problem. Sin is symptomatic of an inward problem. Some might say today, well, I've engaged in this sin and that sin, but I have a good heart. God's word says otherwise. We're all born with a corrupted heart. We're all born with a deep inward problem. This burning then inward was bringing an outward manifestation. But then I want to see also that the fever left her in a state of weakness. On account of this fever, she could not help herself. She had this fever, and such was its strength, she could not deliver herself from it. She needed an outward intervention. And this is brought out again in all of the various records. Matthew tells us, as I've said, that she was led down, but she needed the Lord to come and take her by the hand. Doesn't this remind us of Romans 5 verse 6, when we were yet without strength? When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And therefore, sinner, don't resist this description of yourself in the mother-in-law of Peter having this fever. For this is exactly how you are, without strength. But the Lord came for those that are without strength. If you were able to help yourself, there's no need of the gospel. If you can fix your sin problem, then Jesus Christ need not have come. But also, thirdly, under this point, the other symptoms of fever remind us of sin. You think of the symptom of restlessness associated with fever, convulsions. Isn't that how the Bible describes the sinner? He's in a state of unrest. His mind is in turmoil as all of this guilt is being stirred up. You think of the symptom of thirst. And that's exactly how the Word of God describes the sinner. He is yearning for something, and yet never until he comes to Christ finds satisfaction. A fever has awful effects on the mind. We read in history of those that had delirium as a result of fevers. So the sinner has a lack of understanding of his own condition. But then fever was destructive. And remember, Luke, as he writes here, he's writing as a doctor. He's writing under inspiration, but he is a physician. And he talks here of how this lady was taken with a great fever. And surely what Luke is telling us is this. Unless there's an intervention soon, this lady will die. Unless there's some dramatic turnaround, Peter's mother-in-law is going to die. That's why they are beseeching him to do something for her. They besought him for her. They realize that this is no gentle fever. And remember, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What an accurate portrayal we have in this scene of one that is lost. God created you, dear sinner, to serve him. And yet outside of Christ, you cannot serve him. God created you to praise him, to live for his glory. And yet outside of Christ, you cannot do that. Like this woman, you are led. You've been cast down, as we all have, by the attack of the devil. You're in the grip of the devil. You're taken in sin. You're controlled by it. And therefore today your need is this. You need to be set free. And yet surely this has also got an application to every believer. For isn't it true that in times of backsliding that we are hindered? In times of excusing our sin that we are hindered? Where there is sin unconfessed, sin not put away, that sin will be a hindrance to us. Needs to be put away. We cannot effectively serve God and hold on to sin at the same time. And Matthew Henry said, if Satan has half, he will have all. If the Lord has but half, he will have none. We cannot serve the Lord half-heartedly. If we give Satan a little, he will desire all. Therefore, may we see even here our need afresh to be raised up to serve the Lord. The bondage of sin preventing service. I want to see, secondly, the intervention of Christ to enable service. It took a miracle in order to deliver this lady. It took a miracle in order for her to go and to serve this meal. And we see here the power of Christ so wonderfully set forth. The Lord comes with ability to heal as well as compassion to heal. He has the strength to heal as well as the desire to do it. And as we compare the various passages in the Gospels, we can see so wonderfully how the Lord comes and touches the sinner. We'll look here first of all in Luke 4:39. It says, he stood over her. He stood over her. We can then speak here of the standing of Christ. Man's sin cannot prevent God's strength being seen. The Lord comes to where she is. she's not able to come to her. She is not able to come to him. But he comes to her sovereignly in all of her need. But then if you go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, we see the scrutiny of Christ. Matthew chapter 8 and the verse 14. Matthew 8:14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother led and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose. And so you'll notice there in verse 14, he saw her. He examined her. And having seen her, he doesn't turn away, but he goes to her. There's also this touch of Christ. I've called it the stroke of Christ, where in verse 15, he touched her hand. And then if you go to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1 and the verse 31, Mark chapter 1, verse 31, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. So the Lord has stood over her. He sees her. He has touched her. But he takes her by the hand. He lifts her up. And there's one more detail back in Luke. Luke tells us that the Lord rebuked the fever. Now all of this taken together is the story of what the Lord does to the sinner. He sees the sinner and all the sinner's need. But he comes to that sinner. And while, yes, God hates sin, he doesn't turn away, oblivious to the sinner's need. He touches the sinner. He takes them by the hand. He lifts them out of their condemnation. He rebukes the devil and that condemnation. And when the Lord spoke, the fever could not stay. It had to go. You think of how wonderful this was for the lady. The Lord came near. She became conscious of his presence in a way perhaps she never had been conscious of before. She came to see his face in a way she had never seen it before. She felt his touch in a way that she had never felt it before. She heard his voice. She felt his power in a way that she had never heard and felt it before. And this is our longing for every lost one in the meeting today. That the Lord would come to you. Though today, even where you are right now, will you not cry upon the Lord to have mercy? Will you not say today, do not pass me by. Have mercy upon my soul. For as I have been showing you, you cannot serve God without having experienced his touch. Perhaps today, that detail is of no great concern to you. You're happy to go on serving sin. Happy to go on serving the devil, living for yourself. What an awful reaping in the end. You serve sin and Satan all your days. You'll be with him for all eternity. What a blessing to be raised up to serve Christ. How is it the Lord comes to the sinner? Well, surely he comes on the basis of the cross. Again, to think of these various descriptions, the Lord came to the lady. Sin separates us from a holy God. On what basis would the Lord draw near? He draws near on the basis of the cross. Sin turns away God's face. God cannot look upon sin. But it's by the cross that the Lord is enabled to look. as our sin is taken and laid upon him. How is it the Lord can lift the sinner out of that mire? The Lord lifts on account of the cross. And here is then this great message of liberation. And the Lord setting free. If you could turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul describes here theologically what takes place when the Lord takes the sinner by the hand. When the Lord rebukes that fever of sin. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read from the verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And so Paul is contrasting how we were living according to the desires of the flesh. We were by nature the children of others. But the Lord, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And theologically then, doctrinally, the day the Lord saved you, dear believer, what did the Lord do? He raised you up to sit with him in heaven. And though you're still here on earth, you have this position in heaven. That is, heaven. Glory is guaranteed to you. Raised up to sit there. There's no one that has ever been raised up to sit in heaven by God's grace that is then cast out on account of their failure. That's an attack upon the gospel. But the Lord having quickened the sinner, we are raised up to sit with the Lord in heavenly places. But verse 10 then, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We have a position in heaven, but enabled to live for the Lord here on earth. Not saved by works, as Paul is emphasizing here, but saved unto works. And that brings us then to my third point, the verification of transformation in service. Now, how can we say that it's definitely true that the lady was healed? Her hand was put to work. And we see then that her healing was real. She was no longer held in that bed. She was no longer helpless. She was no longer moaning. We could say she was a new creature. Entirely different. And this outward change then, that was so manifest, was demonstrating the inward change that had taken place. And I want you to see that her healing was immediate and complete. When the Lord healed her, the Lord didn't say, have the rest of the day in bed to recover. Now that's good advice for someone when they're made better today. Rest in your recovery. But this lady, such was the healing. She was recovered, or she was delivered even from that recovery period. Her healing was immediate and entire. And the miracles then that our Lord performed in his ministry, they were real, often described as organic, entire. And what is the lesson for us? The Lord saves completely. There's a full pardon, full justification, and therefore raised up to serve the Lord immediately. It is true that there are various aspects of service that require Christian maturity. God's word speaks about not putting the novice into a position of office straight away. And yet, even the new convert can immediately tell others of what the Lord's done. The new convert can speak to others of how I was lost, but now am found. Now, thinking about this service, it was Christ-like. You think of the whole context of this miracle. The Lord had been serving in the synagogue. He had been ministering, to use the word that we have before us for the lady, she ministered unto them. The Lord had ministered in the synagogue, both in preaching and in miracle. And now as the Lord touches her, she ministers. There was this Christ-likeness, wasn't there? Remember Christ, he came to serve, to minister. When the Lord ministers to us, we are to minister. That's Christ-likeness. And she joyed in serving Christ's people because it was her service to Christ. Notice there that says she immediately she arose and ministered unto them. She didn't just say, I will serve Jesus, but I can't serve these other people because this one has injured me and that one said this thing about me yesterday. She ministers to them all. Remember what John said in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. We can't say, I serve the Lord, but I can't serve the Lord's people because I can't stand them. If we love the Lord, we serve those that are with him. And here then there was this joy in serving the Lord's people. And then I want to see finally that her service was a precursor to something better. For wasn't there here in this home on this day a little foretaste of heaven? What did she do when she was raised up? She ministered unto the Lord. What is this lady still doing? She is still serving. As she has entered into her heavenly reward, she is still serving. And so we read earlier from the book of Revelation that the Lord's people in glory, they serve him day and night. Unceasing service. Whatever service the Lord gives us to do here on earth, at times it may seem little, but it's to be a forerunner of something better. Let us never then run from service. But as the Lord gives us opportunities to serve him, may it be our desire, let me serve the Lord. Let me have a little time of heaven while here on earth. And we look forward to that day then when we will meet in that company above. If you notice with me in verse 40, it says, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. The scripture doesn't tell us here, but I wonder, did Peter's mother-in-law go out and bring sick to the door? That as she herself was raised, did she go and find those that she knew that were unwell and bring them that they might be healed of their various diseases? And you, dear believer, having been raised up to new life in Christ, may you realize what the Lord has done for me. He is well able to do for others. Let us go and labor in the work of the Lord. seeking to bring lost ones onto our lovely Saviour. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Amen.